Now, if you had a choice between going up or going down, what would you choose? Prefer to go up? Yeah? I think, generally speaking, most of us, when we think about up and down and the difference between them, we tend to prefer going up. When it comes to knowledge, for example, we like increasing knowledge, right? Rather than decreasing knowledge. When it comes to how much we're paid or how much money we make or how valuable our assets are, what do we prefer? We prefer increase in all of those, don't we? We like to see the line on the graph going up instead of going down. In most situations, we tend to think as human beings that going up, it's a lot better than going down. And we can see something of that in the story of Jonah. Now, some of you may have heard the tragic news of three skydivers who plunged to their death last Friday. You hear that news? I think their parachutes got tangled somehow and they plunged to their deaths. One of the victims was the mother of 8 children, so that's quite tragic. Imagine being in such a situation, knowing that something's not happening there with your parachute and you're falling down to the ground. How would you feel? What about what happened to Vesna Vlahovic? She actually holds the world record for surviving the highest fall without a parachute. She was a flight attendant on a plane that exploded at a height of 10,160 metres. So that's 10 kilometres up in the sky, right? She was the only survivor of that crash. But she was in a coma for 10 days after the incident. She spent several months in the hospital recovering. She suffered, as a result of the crash, a fractured skull, 3 broken vertebrae, 2 broken legs, several broken ribs, and a fractured pelvis. Her injuries resulted in her being temporarily paralysed from the waist down, but eventually she recovered. And the only long-term effect that she had was spending the rest of her life walking around with a limp. That's an amazing story of survival, isn't it? As her experience shows, going down without anyone to save you isn't a nice experience. And the book of Jonah tells us that the same thing, same principle, applies on a spiritual level. The book of Jonah tells us if you're running away from God, you're going down. 3 times in chapter 1, the phrase "go down" is used of Jonah. Jonah went down to the port city of Joppa when he was running away from God. And then he went down to get onto the boat. Then when the storm came, he went down further into the innermost parts of the ship and fell asleep. And today in chapter 2, we see Jonah going down even further to the depths of the ocean. After being thrown overboard, we're told in the end of chapter 1, in verse 17, that the Lord appointed a large fish to swallow up Jonah. We can see here how much God is in control of the elements. Jonah's running away from him. He sends the storm, but he also sends the fish. True to form is the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. God's in control of the wind and the waves. And even the animals, like the big fish, follow his direction. Now, we're not told what kind of fish it was that gobbled Jonah up, apart from being told that it was large. And I reckon it would have to be pretty large, really, to be able to swallow Jonah whole. And it would also have needed to have a big belly as well, at least big enough to be a temporary house for Jonah. It would function as his rescue capsule for 3 days and 3 nights, we're told. Now, I don't know what you think when you hear this story about Jonah being in the belly of a big fish, but it does sound rather incredible, doesn't it? Yet, we should also keep in mind at this point that there have been reports in history of people being swallowed by whales and actually surviving. The best known modern case dates back to 1891, when a whaler called James Bartley was found unconscious but alive in the belly of a harpoon sperm whale. After regaining consciousness, Bartley recalled being swallowed up by a great darkness, then slipping along a smooth passage until arriving in a larger space, which obviously, I guess, would have been the stomach of the animal, because he felt slimy stuff around him, according to the report. And at that moment in time, he realised that he'd been swallowed by a whale. He said that he could breathe inside the whale, but the heat of being in there sucked all of the energy out of him, and eventually he fainted and became unconscious. Now, it's said that when he was found, the skin of his face, neck and hands was bleached white by the whale's gastric juices. Now, I don't know how true that story is, but it is there on the historical record as having taken place. And I also don't know, well, in Jonah's situation, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a big fish, was his skin bleached as a result of his experience? But we do know the emphasis in the biblical record is that it's God in his mercy who sent the fish to rescue Jonah. But before being rescued by the fish, Jonah had an important lesson to learn. And we can see this from chapter 2, which records the prayer that Jonah prayed to God after being rescued. And it recounts something of what he was feeling before the big fish came along to gobble him up. And we're told that from the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed to God, acknowledging that the Lord is the God of salvation. He prayed, giving thanks to God for saving him from death. And in his prayer, he describes his experience after being thrown overboard. He recalls being surrounded by water all around him. In verse 3, he describes how the Lord's breakers and billows, the waves, they were smashing into him and rolling over his head. But as all of this was happening, as he was sinking down into the depths of the ocean, down into the belly of the underworld, Jonah called out to the Lord in the midst of his distress. And the wonderful thing is that God listened to his prayer. As he was sinking down into the depths, with seaweed twisting itself around his head, as he was sinking down to the feet of the mountains at the bottom of the sea, with the earth bolting shut its door behind him, with the prospect of death staring him in the face, as his life was ebbing away, Jonah remembered the Lord. He acknowledged that he had been cast out from God's presence, stupidly trying to run away from God. That was running away from the presence of God. But now, with no other way of escape, Jonah did the right thing. He turned back to God and cried out for salvation. Friends, from this we can see that it's never too late for repentance as long as you're still physically alive. Now, it's not a good idea to spend your life running away from God only to turn back to him at the last moment, but no matter how late a person might leave it, even at a minute to midnight, God is always willing to receive our prayers of repentance whenever we genuinely call out to him for salvation, just like he did for Jonah. Jonah cried out, and God listened to his prayer. Now, Jonah's rescue is spoken of elsewhere in the Bible as a picture of resurrection. And we can see the truth of this, particularly through the language which is used in verse 6. Jonah was going down, 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 but Yahweh his God brought his life up from the pit. And using this language of being brought up from the pit links Jonah's prayer in with many of the prayers that we see in the Psalms. This idea of the pit is quite common in the Old Testament. It's a metaphorical hole in the ground that leads those who fall into it into the underworld. In other words, those who fall into the pit, it's like falling into a big hole in the ground, right? It's a picture of death. It's a picture of going down into the grave. And that's how Jonah was feeling there in the ocean. He's going down. And where's he heading towards? He's heading down towards a watery grave. Now, thinking about this idea of the pit and graves, I guess you could say that's not really a nice destination to think about, is it? One day there, lying cold in the ground. But thankfully, the Bible tells us that God has the power to rescue people from the pit. God has the power to rescue people from the grave. We don't have to be stuck in the miry bog of death forever. And this is the broader significance of Jonah's salvation experience. It's a picture that the Bible talks about as the sign of Jonah. And Jesus actually picks this up. In Matthew 12, verse 40, explaining the sign of Jonah, Jesus said, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Here we can see that Jesus understood that Jonah's experience of salvation via the God-appointed fish was actually a kind of picture of resurrection from the dead. It's a picture of salvation from the watery pit. The story of Jonah being rescued by the fish sent by God reminds us that the only person who can save us from going down is God. And we need to call out to him for rescue. The truth is, our God, the God that is revealed to us in the Bible, is a God of salvation. He's a God of emergency rescue. He responds to every call for salvation. He is both willing and able to save. He's the only reliable emergency rescue service that exists. Now, we know in our world today that often there are stories of someone who's in need. They've had a heart attack or whatever it may be. You ring the ambulance. What happens? The ambulance, something goes wrong in the communication. They don't arrive, or else it takes them 15 minutes to arrive instead of 5, or else all the ambulances are full. What do you do? In the end, friends, the only person that we can truly depend upon for rescue eternally is God. And God does this because he's a God of mercy. And this is something that Jonah also emphasizes. We can see something of this in verse 8, which is a little bit ambiguous in and of itself. But when Jonah says, "Those who give regard to worthless vanities forsake their mercy," in his mind it means those who worship idols don't get to experience God's saving mercy. You have to come to the true God in order to be saved and experience mercy. Now, Jonah, by running away from God, he was running away from mercy. And it's strange because one of the key reasons, it seems, that he ran away from God was because he didn't want God to show mercy to the people of Nineveh. Jonah, at that point, is in effect an idol worshipper. He thinks he's worshipping the one true God, but he doesn't want God to be merciful. He wants God, who is a God of limited mercy. "It's okay if you're merciful to me, God, but these other people..." In having that preference, Jonah, in effect, had really set up a false God for himself in his head. "I want to worship the true God, but I don't totally like him as he is. God, can you please limit your mercy? Be a bit more acceptable?" But splashing around in the middle of the ocean, Jonah was forced to cry out to the God of mercy. And it's something that we all need. It's only as we turn back to God and cry out for mercy that salvation from death is experienced. Friends, God is described in the Bible as being someone who doesn't forsake his mercy. He's merciful and compassionate. And that stands in great contrast to the picture of Jonah that we'll see in the next couple of chapters of the book, where Jonah struggles with the idea of God's mercy and compassion for others. But that struggle, it only serves to highlight just how merciful God is to everyone who would call out to him for salvation. In the middle of the ocean, Jonah realizes something of this. He's forced to acknowledge it. And we can see this in verse 9. He says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. And to prove this very fact, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land." He had been saved. Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land, our God is a compassionate God. Our God is a God of mercy and salvation. And just like Jonah, at least while he was in the belly of the fish, it's right for us to celebrate God's mercy and to be thankful for his compassion, to rejoice in his willingness to save those who cry out to him for rescue. So friends, I think the overall impact of Jonah chapter 2 is to encourage each one of us to call out to God for salvation, just like Jonah did. Whatever our situation in life might be, whatever might be taking us down, please remember that God is willing and able to come and rescue us. He is willing and able to restore us to life in the land of the living in his good timing. Please don't forget the fact that our God is a God of salvation. It's an idea which is emphasized not just in Jonah, but in the Bible as a whole. What's the whole point of Jesus' death and resurrection except to say to us that God is a God of salvation? He stands ready and willing and able to come and rescue us. But we also must make the call. If you want the ambulance to come and rescue you, what do you need to do? You need to make the call, right? In the midst of your distress, in the midst of whatever it is that's happening to you in life, all of us are headed down to the grave. We need to make the call. We need to cry out to the Lord. As the sign of Jonah shows us, if you make the call, God will definitely answer. He will come and save you from the pit. And friends, I reckon that is good news.